Life, the Season 3 2020 Zoom interview experience. On behalf of the entire team, thank you for spending time with us today. We hope you are staying safe and staying healthy. Things around the KDS Collaborative have been in the best way possible busy, so thank you for your grace with regard to our mid-season pause last week, but we are back. It's my birthday week, so I'm especially fired up, and I cannot wait to bring you our next guest. This episode of Choreograph Your Life is brought to you by a new show sponsor, Coffee Over Cardio, bringing you more than just coffee. Check out their hydrates, creamers, apparel, and more by visiting www.coffeeovercardio.com. They offer constant new flavors of fresh ground coffee delivered directly to your door by either individual orders, or you can do a subscription service, which is also awesome. I personally like a super dark roast, so I have the Bonjour, which is a French roast, and the Hashtag Workflow, which is their highly caffeinated, buzzed out coffee, which I just love. And they also have flavors such as cinnamon bun, pumpkin spice for my fall-loving friends, birthday cake, and so much more. Most of what they have to offer is keto-friendly, vegan, and gluten-free. They also have K-cups for you Keurig peeps out there, so make sure you check it out. We all deserve quality coffee, right? So you can receive 10% off today by using our code 10, like the number 10, 10, the KDS Collab. Again, that's 10, the KDS Collab. Check out their wide selection of flavors at www.coffeeovercardio.com. All right, my friends, back to the episode at hand. If you've spent any time at all in Dance Team Land, our next guest is someone whose name you've likely heard over the last several years. And good news, if you'd prefer to run screaming for the hills away from Dance Team Land, that is okay. You'll still want to know this gal because she is an incredible overall motivator and team leader. Her honest, no-nonsense approach to coaching has been the catalyst for many years of success in student-athlete mentoring and her own professional growth. Chastity Tyus is originally from Raymore, Missouri, in the Kansas City area. She started dancing at age 5 at Wynn Twins School of Dance and continued her training at Studio J School of Dance. In high school, she was a member of the Raymore Peculiar Varsity Dance Team, where she was a junior and senior captain. She continued her dance career at Lindenwood University in St. Charles, Missouri, where she was on the 7-time national champion Lion Line Dance Team. She was a junior officer and senior captain during her time on the team, and she helped lead them to 3 national championships. Chastity is also a head instructor for NDA, where she's been a part of the company for 7 years. She's the former head coach of the Incarnate Word Academy dance team in St. Louis, Missouri. She was also the grad assistant and interim head coach for the Lindenwood University Golden Line dance team. She choreographs for many state and nationally ranked high school dance teams in the Kansas City and St. Louis area. She graduated with her Bachelor of Arts degree in Human Resources with a minor in Marketing, and most recently finished her master's in business administration. Whew, she's busy. Chas is currently working as a human resources manager for Circle K and is entering her 4th season as the head coach for the Florida State Golden Girls dance team. You guys, Chastity is incredible. I can't wait for you to meet her and enjoy this interview. You do not want to miss this. Without further ado, welcome my good friend and soon to be yours, Chastity Tyus. Woo! All right, here with me, I have my fabulous friend, Chas. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Kelly.
How are you today?
Fabulous. Well, I'm okay.
Well, would you like to tell the good people of Choreograph Your Life what's going on that is just okay for you?
The Kardashians announced yesterday that they are canceling their show. So we're here trying to recover, figuring out what we're going to do. Those are my gals.
Yeah,
You know, I feel like you're going to pull through, but I also know that the show means a lot to you.
It does. I love the Kardashians for a lot of reasons. And, you know, there's so many haters out there. So we could talk all day about this.
We could. And you know what? Like, I also, I'm with you. I don't really watch the show. And I think that there are a lot of probably negative things that people could come up with about the Kardashians, but you got to appreciate the hustle and you got to appreciate the
what? Yes.
I mean,
gals have jeans, makeup, body shapewear, perfume, books. Like, how can you really hate on that? Regardless of where it started.
You can't. Regardless. I know, but everybody has to get their start somewhere.
Right.
Not necessarily condoning that start. However, look where they have gone.
Right.
Like the growth.
She could have stayed at the bottom or she could. Now look.
I know.
That's a $1 billion empire. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. You cannot hate on that.
Well, so now that that show is canceled or will be coming to an end, I guess, you know, like you had mentioned earlier, this is the opportunity for us to get our own Chas show, which I think really and truly the world would appreciate more.
The world does need it.
You know what I miss, Chas? I miss the days where you used to send out Snapchats of you singing Rihanna all the time.
I know. I'm like, I need to get back in the habit of something. Like, I used to do quotes of the days. Then every Friday I had my Rihanna thing. And then I had my flower crown. I had the World of Dance thing going. See, I'm like, I really need something.
You do. And
to be niche, because I think I could get a good follower.
Well, and whether you realize this or not, there are people like myself, and I'm sure others in the world, that appreciate that about you. Like, it was something that I looked forward to. It also kind of helped me, like, have a feel of what day it was of the week, which I hope, like, this podcast does for people. It does for me, at least, where, like, okay, mm-hmm. I know it's Wednesday, so I only know that because the podcast came out or whatever. So your Rihanna singing, I like knew it was Friday.
Every Friday. I need to start again.
Okay.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you will.
But something new.
Mull that over. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's dive in to this interview. Chas, tell us all of the things that we need to know about the legend, Chas.
Woo! Lord, where do I start? You want me to go from the beginning or just a summary of now?
Well, you know, you don't have to start necessarily at birth.
Okay. Yeah.
But where are you from? Where did you go to high school? Where did you go to college? And then kind of a summary of now. Yes.
Okay. The background. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm from Kansas City. Go Chiefs. Super Bowl champs. Never forget it.
Whoop, whoop.
We're about to run it back one more time. But yes, Kansas City. I don't like to say the saying born and raised. I feel like when you're born and raised there, I was born and raised in Kansas City. We're called, ignore that. I went to Raymore Peculiar. I was on dance team there. So Ray Peck. I did high school dance team all 4 years. Then I went to Lindenwood. Go Lions. Lion Line forever. And I was on the team. We won 2 national championships during my time. No, 3. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
My senior year was the first Jazz national championship, and I was captain. I was a junior officer, and then from there, I started coaching at IWA in St. Louis high school team, mm-hmm. and then I started coaching the Golden Line at Lindenwood as well, so that was more of a hockey cheer squad, and I did that as a grad assistant program, and I did both of those for about 2 years while I was getting my master's in business.
Awesome.
From Lindenwood.
Yes.
So I was running around crazy. I was coaching 2 teams, working full time, going to class from 6 to 10. It was wild. And going through a bad breakup. We all know how that goes.
Ooh, a whole nother job.
A whole nother job. But that was the first time I ever pulled a 4.0. So I'm proud of myself.
Heck yeah, that's awesome.
And then almost 4 years ago, I accepted the job at Florida State as the head Golden Girl coach. I've been living in Tallahassee ever since. And during that time before accepting that, I was working as a recruiter for Circle K, so the big convenience chain.
Right.
And I was doing that in St. Louis. And then it worked out, and it was a blessing that when I moved, they were like, hey, you want to work from home? I'm like, sure. Why not? Work from home as a recruiter. And then my direct supervisor ended up being promoted and moving down to the business unit in Georgia,
okay.
right where next to Tallahassee. And so then I ended up getting promoted to a human resource manager, all while coaching. So that's my life right now, balancing human resources, coaching, starting to figure out, okay, what do I really want to do? You know, I feel like we go to school, we do what is sounds good, which right. HR sounded great. I was like, it's a good job, you know, steady, stable.
Yeah.
But my goal job was a 10-year plan, and I've been in that job for 2.5 years already.
That's so, now so I'm like, amazing.
I'm like, what's next?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because we actually, interestingly enough, Meg, who is a fellow friend of ours, and she's also a coach, we were kind of talking about you because we both adore you. And she was like, you know, she's living her dream job right now. And so it's kind of like, what do you do next? Like after your dream job? And I totally feel that. In my
Absolutely.
Soul. So you have to have your show.
Right? Because I feel like quarantine woke that up. And I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But I feel like quarantine was like a really reality check because I was fortunate enough to not lose my coaching job because there's dance teams out here that are getting the boot program. So that was fortunate. Same thing with my job. Fortunate enough to keep that, have gotten more opportunity, and our business has only grown. So again, when you visualize your dream job, you see it as something almost that's not attainable,
right,
in a sense. And so then when you attain it, at a very young age, it puts you in a weird place of, okay, this was my dream. I'm living it. And I have, hopefully, God willing, plenty of life left to live.
Yes. Well, and you know, of course, like anything else, even when it is your dream job, and not saying that this is where you are, but you get to a point where it, not burnout necessarily, but it's like, you want to keep growing and you want to keep like doing the thing.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, I hadn't really like, acknowledge that maybe this was going to happen sooner rather than later. So,
right. What's my dream job?
So obviously for you, it's to have your own reality show. As we mentioned,
yes.
That is also what we hope for you. At this point.
$1 billion empire, mm-hmm. somewhere around there.
I think that I feel like that is definitely in the cards for you. You can make that happen. No problem. So you talked about, you went to Lindenwood, which those of you listening who are from Missouri, you know where Lindenwood is. It's in the St. Charles area. Maybe what you do or don't know about Lindenwood is they have a very, very, very strong dance team program, which you were a part of. What was that experience like for you in terms of the amount of time it took? How did you manage all of that with your school schedule? Like how does that go for a Lindenwood Lion Line dancer?
Right. It was truly great. Like the group of friends I made, the group of friends I think is what made it 10 times better because I'm still close to a lot of those girls. We have a group message that we talk in once a week at least that we, you know, we're all, you know, bridesmaids, that good stuff. So I think the people made the experience 10 times better. I will not sugarcoat and say it was easy. Like we have this thing where we name the top 10 worst moments and we'll just revisit them every few years and laugh about it, of just things that happened during that time that were just so terrible but so funny. And when I say terrible, I'm talking like practice was extra long,
right,
terrible,
right, of anything course
actually bad. But it was great. But again, I feel like it shaped me for how I live my life, because now when I don't have Golden Girls in the summer, when work is slow, or when I don't have 50 million things to do, I'm like, okay, life is boring. Like, what's going on? So I think it just helps you balance everything in your life. You know, you have to be strong. You have to balance grades. You have to be able to, you know, hit deadlines. So it was just great. A lot of practice, a lot of hard work. Again, people saw the final product and just assume that's just what it was, but man, we started from the bottom some years with some routines.
Ooh, we have all been there.
When it gets to the stage, we like, hallelujah,
it happened.
This one, so it is not a piece of cake, and you know, you really have to be mentally tough,
yes,
especially in dance. And again, people don't know, if you're not in dance, you don't understand dance,
right?
But you have to be mentally tough, man. We're talking about something where
we put our blood, sweat, and tears into for people to give their opinion. You know, there's no real points, you know, like you can't score a point. You can't have a penalty in the sense, but man, we put it all on the line for 10 people's opinion.
I love that you just said that because it's so, so true. And any of you dance folk out there or coaches out there that are listening, it's like, we cry. We're literally bleeding. We're like all of the things for 10 people to tell you, yeah, or five or three or whatever the case may be for the opinion, because yeah, you can't score a point. Like, yeah, you can follow the score sheet and set yourself up. But like at the end of the day, it's truly like, what did they like today? And
right,
I think
they could have woke up and not like your song the next day.
Exactly. Like they had a bad breakup and that was the song that they remembered.
And you're like, hate it. Yeah. I hate that routine. I mean, I had two girls break their necks dancing, and people like to this day are like, oh, dancing is easy. It's not a sport. I'm like, homie, they had broken necks.
I remember that. Braces. That was like a couple years ago, wasn't it?
That was the Twilight Zone.
Was that your second year coaching?
Second year.
Yeah.
And it didn't at Florida State. And my first year went so great. It was like the epitome of like, how is this your first year? And you guys get third in division 1A. Like, what is that?
Right.
To like tank the next year.
You guys didn't tank. You were still top 10, no, weren't you?
Yeah, we were top 10. And yeah, I don't even mean like tank, like the way we place. I mean, tank just like things that could have gone wrong went wrong. Like me and my girls, we still laugh about that year. We're like, that was not real.
It was, well, you know, we've all had those. Lindenwood is division two at competition. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? You start doing like NDA, UDA, all the things, like the divisions, it all is different. So you're division
and
two.
And it's actually open.
Oh, that's right.
They're UDA.
Open. That's right.
Open,
that's
but right. We are D2. Yeah.
Okay. So Florida State that you coach now is in division 1A.
Yes.
Which if you follow dance at all, you know that that little A behind the division one means like, oh boy, here we go.
It takes it up a notch.
Well, and you know, I feel like there is so much talent in all of the categories. Don't get me wrong. But if you watch the division 1A category at UDA Nationals, it is like, it really boils down to what people like better that day. And it's the nitty gritty, like, whose finger was, you know, just a smidge out of place. So can you talk a little bit about the differences in terms of, I'm sure maybe there aren't any differences, but in terms of the practices, in terms of what the coaches have to look for, like kind of what that has been like for you?
As far as being open versus D1A?
I feel like that might be kind of a bad question because I feel like everybody kind of looks for the same thing, but is there something that you have to emphasize more in the 1A category as a coach than you would have to in the open, well, or vice versa? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I think the reality too is it's just in general a bigger school.
Yeah, for sure.
Which a lot of people desire bigger schools, like regardless of what the case may be. Just to say, oh, I went to Florida State. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, is really cool in itself. So I think, first off, the bigger schools tend to get more dancers, more options. You know, Lindenwood, our auditions are for two teams, and we would have 60 people auditioning.
But isn't it crazy, though? Sorry to interrupt you. Like, the amount of talent, though, even though it is a smaller school, that Lindenwood pulls.
And they're not even a good example to use because it's Lindenwood. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, they'll get 60 dancers for one team. Mm-hmm. My first year, and I think last year we had 75 people. Or I'm sorry, Lindenwood gets 60 people for two teams, mm-hmm, or three teams. We've gotten 75 to 80 to 100 people for one team of 25 people.
Right.
So I think just in general, there's more people going to bigger schools. So that's why maybe it seems like, oh, they tend to be stronger,
right,
whatnot. And then again, if you even compare it to sports, you know, a division one athlete going to Alabama is different than a division two athlete going to Lindenwood.
Sure.
I think the difference for us too is we have to put a lot of emphasis on representing the program, just like in the utmost, you know, the expectation from our university, which I don't think they're probably any different at Lindenwood, but from my experience, you know, we have to be the face of the university. Right. They like take it very, very serious, which I love. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be super, super selective. And then again, knowing our division, we compete against Minnesota every year. Like we have to push and Ohio State and Tennessee and LSU and ASU. Like there's so many schools and so many more Division I-A teams that are amazing.
Right.
So like we have to take the literal best of the best. No, you know, I don't know if that really answers it.
No, it does. And again, like, it's not really a fair question because all of the teams work equally as hard.
And honestly, I can say, as someone who went to a Division II school and now coaches D1A, I see the differences, and it's 100% nothing against us. Yeah.
No, or myself. No, no, no.
It's
no,
just
no.
Like the talent that comes in is just like unbelievable. And two, I think you have to evaluate the states and what goes on. Yep. And like, you know, Florida, there's three big D1A schools that people want to go to. Mainly, you know, like, whereas in Missouri, there's a lot of Division II schools. There's only one, you know, there's Mizzou pretty much,
right?
Of a big school, if you want to call it, or D1A school. So I just feel like, you know, there's more opportunity to go to a Northwest, a Lindenwood, a UCM, a Pitt State. Whereas in Florida, it's kind of like you're going to Florida, University of Miami, or Florida State.
Right.
And then when you're looking at dance teams, you're like, okay, Florida State has been around and competing and doing all of that. So it's just like, you know, we kind of get those dancers that come in.
And what you have done with that program, girl, they are so good. I just,
I love them.
I had never been to UDA College Nationals until this past time. It's so different whenever you watch it on video versus when you watch it live, all of the teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
One A is the Division I, you know, and I choreograph a Division I school, like Missouri State. And so I obviously get to see them in real life.
Right.
But like seeing your team in real life, seeing Minnesota in real life.
Oh my
God.
It's St. crazy.
Thomas in real life, like all of it.
And I'm mind blown myself. Like even sometimes when I watch my own team dance, like, and I'm not even trying to be biased. Like, I legit watch them, and I'm like, who are you people? Like, you guys are insane.
They are insane.
I'm kind of numb to it now, though, when it comes to my team. Sorry. I'm a little numb. I send the videos to you. I'm like, this is terrible. This looked terrible.
And you have done that. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
They know. And if y'all listen, they know I love them. They know that if they do it and I'm like, it was probably good. It just could have been better.
But you have to be that way. I feel like personally as a coach, I became so enamored with the talent level and I was so proud of them that I would miss the little detailing. So that fact that you can do that and be like, okay, I'm numb to you. Like, you're good. I know that, but I know that we can be better.
I'm like the opposite, and I probably need to get it together because, okay, so everyone knows Jen. She's gone now. I'm so sad. Jen with the legs. Everyone knows her tilt. The tilt scene around the world.
The tilt scene.
You know, Jen.
Yep. Yep.
Listen, I'm numb to her legs. She's beyond amazing. She'll do a leg and I'll be like, that's all right. I'm like, I feel like you can do something so much better. And other people are just like, are you kidding? She's amazing. I'm like, she knows my spirit.
She knows.
She knows how I feel.
She knows. But you have to be that way, especially when you are pushing your girls to be next level in that category. Yep. And I mean, that top five in that category is nuts. Every one of them.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
And
you have to.
The reality is my team is just as good, you know, as all the other teams. So like, I really don't have time to be amazed by them because I know their biggest competitors are just as good as them. So I feel like that's almost why I focus so much on like how we can be better because you know, we're all those teams are good. It's wild.
It is wild. So you obviously, you know, with, since I've known you, you've always had so much going on, like throughout the course of a day with your studies or with the teams mm-hmm. or with your job or whatever, like how do you juggle all of that? What does a day even look like for you? Like, or a week or whatever, how do you choreograph that?
Well, I'm used to it for one, so it doesn't feel weird to me, but mm-hmm. the average day I work 8 to 5 normal. If I'm not traveling, I'm fortunate enough again to work from home. So it is nice when something pops up, I can handle it, you know, right then or there. If I need to run up to campus on lunch break, it's like not a big deal. So that's, you know, that's super helpful.
Sure.
I go work out depending on either in the morning or right before practice. And then I go to practice and then I come home and do it all over again. Yep. And then, you know, once games start, which this year is weird. So, but on a normal year, we start football and then we have volleyball. And then there's a month, pretty much October is the one month where we're doing football, basketball, and volleyball. And it's absolutely insane. I'm traveling for work. And so it's just like, okay, I'm traveling literally from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then going to practice, games. It's wild.
Do you have to travel with the team whenever they have away games? Do you guys travel?
We do NCAA tournament. So March Madness, my favorite time of the year. Rock Chalk. And now I'm like a diehard Florida State basketball fan. And then we do the ACC tournament. So, and okay. we've been all over the world. We went to the country. We went to New York, Charlotte, Nashville, went to New York, went to LA, Anaheim, Connecticut. That's
so fun. So you're able to still travel with them while you are doing your full-time job with Circle K.
It depends. So sometimes I'll use vacation time, which I don't like to do because I'm like, take vacation to work.
Yeah.
My director's like, that's really not, that defeats the purpose of taking a vacation. And then depending on the week, if it's a slower week, I can get my work done while traveling.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice to be able to do the tournament and travel as well.
So for your, with Circle K right now, you're pretty much working from home at this point since we're still sort of in the throes of a global pandemic. And by sort of, I mean, we are. Are you able to do that mostly from home? Or are you traveling again?
I traveled like a couple weeks ago, which was weird. I was like, I have to travel. And then I'm about to start back up.
Okay.
Again. Yeah, I was hoping I wouldn't have to, but it's okay. I like getting out.
And sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. After a while, it's nice to just get out and like see people. I'm
right.
Sure. I've been feeling that for sure. So how much time do you guys practice a week?
We do Monday, Tuesday, Thursday from 6 to 9. Okay. And then during national season, it depends on my mood and how we look.
Right. So we're doing 10 hours a day every day.
Literally, when I told them we're practicing 9 to 6 p.m., they were just like, Coach, are you serious? I'm like, I promise.
I bet your girls just love you, though. Like, they probably just adore coming to practice, even whenever you're like, that's not good. Do it again.
Sometimes they know when it's not going to be too hot of a practice.
Well, you know, we all have those days too. So how are you guys, are you in person practicing now or are you doing that virtually?
So yesterday was our first practice back.
Yes!
But don't get too excited. It was literally with 5 people.
Okay. Okay.
So we are coming back in groups. It went from 0 to 100, honestly. It was like, we don't know when you're going to get cleared to come back. We're not sure. And then it was like, boom, y'all get to do football season. Mm-hmm. And so we split it in groups with cheer. And so we were doing 8 per team, okay. Which is pretty much all we can fit socially distance in the stands for football.
Okay.
So we had 8 and then 3, we had, you know, still getting tested out and about, making sure they're good. So yesterday was 5, but we should have 8 tomorrow, 8 of 24. So a 30.
Wow. That's wild.
It's nice. It is wild right now. Like sometimes I look around and I'm just like they had to wear masks the whole time, like at practice yesterday, doing all their sidelines and band dances. And I was just like, this is crazy.
It is. And it's hard. I don't know if you ran into this last night, but it's hard to get a read on people in the practices with masks on, like when I've been working with teams and stuff and they've been wearing masks, I'm like, are you guys having fun? it's like you can't even tell. Like just everyone looks just dead behind the eyes and just,
like I don't know. Doing their sidelines, I'm like, practice smiling because I can see your dead eyes over there. Like I can tell you're not doing anything with your face.
Like you're gonna need to do that behind that mask.
Day one, I'm like, can you smile, please?
Yeah, because I mean, that's, I'm sure anybody listening out there, you know, if you've watched a college game or whatever, like the dance team is performing. Like they're not doing necessarily super technically challenging on the sidelines. You know, that's where people think like all they do is just shake pom-poms and run around, which is obviously not the case, but they're performing the whole game.
I need to write a book about that because I swear our school just thinks we're these beautiful, skinny, pom-pom. I'm like, these girls are athletes. I'm like, I wish y'all we could show y'all what we actually can do.
No doubt about it. And, you know, yes, our book should be written because it is the level of athleticism that these dancers have to be in a college program, no matter the category, is out of control. I mean, they work out constantly. They are in practice constantly. They have to think about the collegiate image, which we'll talk about in a second. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. And to think that these people just stand on the sidelines and they're like, yay, go team, is just ludicrous.
And it's funny because now that I have to work out on my own, I'm always like, ooh, how many calories can I burn? Yada, yada, yada. And yesterday we had a 2-hour practice. The only thing they did was arms and sidelines, nothing full out, no skills. And it was 2 hours. One of my girls burned like 700 calories. So looking back, I'm like, we were really, really working out. I think at the end of the 2-day practices, they will have burned like 1,200, 1,300 calories, which again, it's not all about the calories, but I'm just like, they're really putting in some work in these practices. It's wild.
I stumbled upon a picture of myself in college the other day when I was on my college dance team.
Those are always the worst.
Man, I really wish that I hadn't seen that. But then like putting it into perspective, we were doing 2-a-days. We were working out constantly. And, you know, on top of that, with having to just be the face of the university, there's a certain expectation that goes along with that in terms of like your physical health and what have you. So, but now looking at that, I'm like, dang, I wonder if they'd have me back.
I know. I'm like, I wonder if I get it together, could I put on this half top?
Probably not. Probably not a good choice. Okay. So tell us a little bit about the basic strategy for your day. Are you a big planner? Do you like plan practice ahead of time? Do you plan your work day ahead of time? Or is it just kind of a go with the flow moment?
It's both because I feel like I can be very spontaneous and sporadic, but I also am like a psycho when it comes to that. So my day, when I plan out my work day, I just bought sticky notes today. I'm a big sticky note person. I like to write down a list on a sticky note. What do I have to do before I can't even say leave, before I close my laptop and walk out of my home office, or before I leave for practice. So that's how I do my work life. I just write it all down, without the expectation of getting everything done necessarily, because sometimes you set yourself up for failure by putting 12 things on a list.
Totally.
And then as I have gotten more years of experience under my belt, I realized that the girls appreciate a practice plan. Whereas, you know, when I was in college, it was like, we have practice today and I hope we do stuff, you know, like we didn't know. It was just like, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the generation of people we're dealing with now, but back in the day, you just did what your coach told you and it is what it is. But I found that the girls have less anxiety and feel better if they know what's going on. So I haven't been right now because COVID is like whatever, but typically the day of, or actually no, last year I started doing it pretty much 2 weeks out or so, where I would just give a list of today we need to warm up, we need to do quads, we need to do abs, we need to get through these routines, we need to work sidelines. So I send them out a list of things. Sometimes
that's
awesome. Sometimes I will even put times, which I don't like to put times because people get married to it. And if it's 6:30 and you were supposed to be done with abs and it's 6:45, people are looking around like, oh, why aren't we done with abs?
My stomach hurts. This is not the plan.
Right. So I try not to put too much detail because, you know, they'll hold you to it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, and that's interesting. You know, you just mentioned the generation of athlete that you're coaching now versus when you were in school versus when I was in school. It's just a different ballgame. Like, the expectation is different in terms of they want to know. Like, they feel like they deserve to know.
It's become this mindset, and again, I'm sure everyone can agree, of more like a almost even playing field versus like coach and athlete. Now, I'm not saying it's, you know, a negative thing. And I think that just goes with the entire world in general, you know, even parenting styles have become more like, listen to your children, do this, which is not a bad thing. But I grew up where if my mom said to do something, that was it. There was just nothing to talk about after that. Right.
Yeah.
So we've all had to adjust in general to just, and I think a part of it is good. I think it is important that the kids feel like they also have a say and an opinion in what goes on. So I've been working hard to try to accommodate that.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning curve. I mean, I remember, you know, when I started coaching versus when I stopped coaching a high school team, like, just looking back at how I used to run practice with, like, what I just came in and, like, it was what it was, to where at the end it was like, it was more of a give and take and more of what they needed to have more buy-in. And, you know, it was interesting. You're obviously at the collegiate level, but, you know, at the high school level, the parents were like, but we want you to just walk in and tell them what's up, until I did that. And then the parents were like, we don't really like that.
Yeah. High school.
So it's like,
You know, I commend people who've been with high school programs forever and ever, because I feel like you have to find your groove and then stick with it. And all the successful high school programs out there, you know, Eisenhower, Francis Howell, you know, St. Thomas More, like, you know, their coaches have like demanded the respect from the kids, the parents. And for me, that's why high school was a struggle, because I think, A, I was really young, you know, and just like you, 21, 22. So I feel like a part of it, the parents, I don't even know if they took me serious.
I don't know either. I
taking our girls to Florida, like, can she even get to Florida herself?
I know. Even now I look back and I'm like, why did anybody let me get on a plane with like a bunch of high school girls?
And fly them to Florida? So 1 year coaching, it was myself, Hannah was the assistant, and Mary was like the go-to girl who got to, she was the extra coach that got to go.
Right.
And I just remember we were in an emergency exit row, and the flight attendant came up to us and was like, you guys can't sit here. We're like, why? They're like, oh, you have to be 18 to be in an emergency exit row. I'm like, yo, we are taking these kids to Florida for nationals.
Like, I'm the chaperone, lady.
I'm sitting in this emergency exit row. So, but it happens now at Florida State. They'll walk up, they're like, where's your coach? I'm like, hi, it's me. Hello. Yeah,
well, hey, better that than like, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
Sometimes, do you have a daughter on this team?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm not mad at it. Sometimes when people sweetheart me, I'm like, okay. I'm an adult, but okay, it's fine.
Okay, it's fine. Yeah, no, it's a different time of life, but that's really awesome that you are sending that out in advance. I'm sure they do appreciate that. And also, I feel like if, as a coach, like, going in with a structure is kind of nice, because you can get really wrapped up in just like beating a certain detail to death, you know, where it's like, oh, okay, we got to move on from this. So
And that was some of their feedback that I did take. They were like, sometimes we just feel like a part's not working and you're not going to move on until it works. And we feel like, you know, we could maybe move on and come back, which to a certain extent, absolutely. Like, at some point it just, we're going to have to come back to it.
So that's interesting that you mentioned that. Do you, do they do like a survey at the end of the season? Do you ask for their feedback throughout the course of the season, or how does that work for you?
So it changed for one, I'm very straight up. I'm very like, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about it. Let's work it out. I'm not afraid of confrontation. That's just not me. And so there used to always be an end of the year survey sent out to the athletes, and it was anonymous. Mm-hmm. And it was somewhat of not a bashing session, but just like an opportunity for them to say things that they would never say, like, right, to me personally. And I feel like to a certain extent, I didn't appreciate that, because I'm like, okay, that's part of me not doing my job if you don't feel comfortable enough to tell, right, me what's going on with you. And then partially I'm like, why do you feel like you can like say any and everything when it's anonymous, but then like sit in a corner and smile in my face? So then one-on-ones became very important to me. We did one-on-ones twice a year, I think maybe my second year. And then I was like, okay, that was good, not enough. So then last year I literally did one-on-ones once a month, or we called them check-ins, and we did them in different ways. Like once we did, you know, with group, we did group check-ins by grades, and then we did, but for the most part, every person got to talk to their, one of their coaches every other month, the entire year, which I liked. It was a lot of extra work to try to figure mm-hmm. out where to get that in, but it was nice because I would tell them, I don't want to get a survey at the end of the year where you said how you hated the entire year. And we've talked 15 times this year.
Right, right.
So one-on-ones, that helps. And then I do end of the year one-on-ones as well. I do them about 6 weeks from audition so that we can give them, like, we actually rate them on, you know, different scores. We can explain that later. And then I tell them everything they need to work on. And then that's kind of their opportunity to tell us what went well, what didn't go well. And then I also then send out an anonymous survey. What did you like? What didn't you like? What went well about football season? What could we do better? What more do you want from your coaches? So it is a pretty good opportunity for them to say what they need to say. And I feel like over the past 3 years, they've gotten better every year as far as what they want more from us, less or whatnot.
How many coaches do you have in your program?
Two. Just two. Jamie and I. And it was myself, nice, my second year. Believe it or not, the year I didn't have an assistant coach was the year it was kind of crazy. I don't think I like coaching by myself.
You know, I agree with that totally. It's hard to coach by yourself for a lot of reasons, but also it's just nice having like another set of eyes, and it's nice to have another set of ears for a lot of things where, you know, like you may hear something one way and your assistant coach is going to hear it totally different. And then you guys can hash it out or, you know, work through it or what have you, because it is hard when you work in something like dance where it is so opinion and subjective based to like, right, not take things personally, yep, sometimes, you know, which it just is human nature. And, yep, so having that extra person there is really nice. I agree.
And to me, there's got to be a good cop, bad cop. I know people don't want to say it, but there has to be. There was no, that I just remember that year, there was no way that I feel like I was making decisions that I, you know, because you can't bounce everything off the athletes. Like, you have to just make them. And it's so nice to have that one person that you can be like, should we cut this person from this routine? And either, right, they say, yes, they'll be fine, or no, let's really think about this. I don't know. I just feel like for me too, like I said, I'm not scared of confrontation. So if they came to me, I'm like, okay, let's talk about it. But it's, right, nice having that other person to be like, okay, you can relax a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. No, that is so great. So how have you, throughout the course of getting into now, obviously in-person practices, how have you kept your team motivated up to this point?
That's been hard. It's been hard to keep myself motivated, to be honest.
No doubt. Yeah, for sure.
Like, I mean, we haven't done anything for 6 months. So going into quarantine, starting at the beginning, March, that was very like sudden. We were like confused. A lot of people, their season, not UDA people, not NDA, because I know nationals got canceled for them, which was tragic.
Heartbreaking.
But for a lot of like UDA teams, their seasons are pretty much over right when COVID hit. So it wasn't a big deal. For us, we do an end of the year showcase where all of our seniors do solos. We redo our routines right before auditions, which is still a big deal to the girls. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of sad for us. And then we went to virtual auditions, which actually went way smoother than I would have thought. Nice. I don't know what's going to happen next year, but I loved it, and it was so nice.
That's great.
And then I got with my captains, and I was like, listen, we're not about to sit around all summer. We didn't know what was going to happen with camp. Frankly, we thought we were still going to camp. I think everyone thought they were going to be back to normal by July, August. Here we are, September. And so we just came up with a game plan. So we do sweaty selfies every summer where they have to send three pics of them working out of some sort, whether it's swimming, running, chasing around someone you're babysitting, whatever is keeping you active, send a picture to our sweaty selfie group. So we did that. And then we had two skill check-ins. So one was at the end of June, one was at the end of July. So my assistant coach and I sent out, like, you know, skills, quad, kip up, head springs, switch, tilts, all this kind of stuff that we sent them out, and they had to send a video by June 30th. And then we gave them corrections, and then same thing for July 31st. And the July 31st skills were hard. It was like five turns, you know, rubber bands, all kind of stuff.
Right.
And then we also had practices every other week virtually. Rather, it was just we got on and did quads and stretched together. We did abs. One week, one of our girls taught a combo and everyone was at a studio. You know, one
nice.
Got together and just talked. And then we also had weekly skills. So one of the girls would post a crazy skill that people shouldn't be able to do on our Facebook page. And then the girls would send videos. So, and I know a lot of people saw like our Making the Team Monday. So it was like that, but just for our team. And then we did that. What else? We did a lot. And I didn't want to do too much because I was scared we wouldn't stick to it, but we did. And I think it was, and we did like Palm Buddies because we have 20 sidelines, 10 band dances. And so every week the newbies were getting with different people to review their sidelines and send videos in and kind of get those checked off as well.
Sweet. Gotcha. How many new girls do you have this year?
Eight.
Wow. Yeah, so wait, how many seniors did you graduate then?
Eight. It's the past 2 years. I had seven seniors my second year, eight seniors last year. I'm like, I lost 15 dancers in 2 years.
That's so hard.
And I mean, I love my team anyway, but I loved my last 2 years of seniors. Oh, tragic.
Yeah,
but we're young this year. We have 3 4th years, which we go by year versus class because we get people all over the place. But we technically have 3 4th years and 5 seniors. But then we only have, I think we have like 3 3rd years. So 18 of our 24 people are first and second years.
Wow. That's kind of awesome though. Like,
nice. I'm about to build a powerhouse and they're like crazy good.
That's great. Like, oh, I can't wait.
It's crazy. Cause I feel like camp is like the opening for people to like get a feel for what teams are looking like, but no one went to camp. No one did home routine. So nationals, if it happens, is really going to be like, oh my God, I had
no
clue.
Are you planning to move forward with learning choreography? Like, what do you, is that like a loaded question at this point? I didn't send that to you in advance. That was kind of a sneak attack.
No, that's okay. I have been, you know, talking to my other coach friends as well to make sure we're not just, but there's just like really no plan to be made. Especially since, and I tried to explain my girls too. I'm like, there's three big factors. There's Florida State, there's UDA, and there's Disney. I'm like, we have zero clue what any of, you know, Florida State could be like, we're not sending y'all somewhere January when we're still online. And then UDA, you know, we've sent out an email, you know, just asking to push nationals back. That might not be an option. And then same thing with Disney. Disney could say, no, this is your date. You know, logistically, we can't fix this. So for us, with us not even all being back, and frankly, as of right now, we have a projected to all be back in October.
Okay.
And so we haven't done anything, honestly.
Yeah.
I have a really close relationship with our jazz choreographer.
Right.
And so, you know, we text all the time and I'm like, and he's a flight attendant. He's at a studio. So he has a little bit more flexibility to just pop up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And then it's also a toss up too. I'm like, do I really want to put my team in a position to learn a routine in November and try to compete in January? Like, that's not setting us up when we all got back together in October. Like,
right.
No. So
do you have relationships with the other coaches? I know you have a relationship still with like the Lindenwood coaches. So you kind of probably bounce ideas off of each other, but do you have relationships with coaches in your division to know?
Like- oh yeah. I talk to not a lot, not frequently. But I've talked to Melissa from Ohio State, Amanda from Minnesota. I feel like I'm really close, and my mentor is Candace from LSU. I'm like obsessed with her. Yeah. She is amazing. So I talked to her quite a bit.
Yeah.
But Kelly from Tennessee. So I know all of them. Yeah. I talk to all of them, and I'm like, what are y'all doing?
What's going on over there?
Like, I want to make sure y'all not practicing your nationals routines, and we don't have choreographers. Like, what's going on up there?
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, but everyone's pretty much in the same place though, because it's like, you know, it costs so much money to bring these people in, and mm-hmm. you know, we don't have facility clearance, we don't have everyone clear to be back,
right?
And you know, I'm sure everyone's the same, but pretty much if a girl leaves Tallahassee, they have to retest.
Yeah,
if they have a cough, they have to go get tested. While they're testing, they can't be in practice. So
yes,
it's just like a part of me hopes we don't have nationals in January, just because I don't want that extra stress. Like,
yeah,
it's already stressful, but totally. It's just like that extra stress of trying to literally, like, I don't even know some of my first years. Like, I've talked to them, we've had one-on-ones, but there's some of them that I've never even met in person.
That's so wild.
Still, yeah, there's at least half of them I've never met in person. So like, and we're supposed to, you know, put national routines
something
together.
That if you're not a dance person and you're listening right now, something that is really important to understand about what she's saying with the not having met them is when you're setting a routine, when a choreographer comes in and sets a routine, the coach kind of needs to have an understanding of what these dancers can do, because you can only have so many people on the floor. And while they might be able to send you a video of them doing an excellent triple pirouette, like, can they do that with the choreography that's around it? Like, if you don't know, you don't know how to make an informed decision of who should be on the floor, who shouldn't be on the floor. And then also it's knowing the girls and just their work ethic and, you know, how they respond to things that are hard. And like, just, it's so much. It's not just, okay, here's a bunch of girls and put them in a dance. It's, there's so much more behind that. And people don't understand that. So for you to say, like, you know.
Yeah. And two, like, people have to think, it's not like basketball where you have position players that they're going to get it done, you know, and again, everyone has to practice, but with basketball, you know, you can come back, have a couple practices, and then go play a game.
Right.
Same thing with football. Now, you might not win, you might not do well, but it's so much different than competing, especially since we do it pretty much one time, you know,
yes.
And that's it. You know, you go to nationals. It's like basketball. They play like 100 games before it's time, you know, for them to compete for a national title. And same thing with football. It's what, 10, 11 games mm-hmm. before they do that. So it's just so, so different.
Yes.
And so I'm like, but let's just bite the bullet and say where it's not happening. Because two, like for my NBA teams, I can't even fathom what they went through practicing spring break, literally going through it to be like, psych.
Right. Oh.
Because even the thought for me now, 6 months out practicing at all and not getting to go to nationals makes me feel sick to my stomach. I don't know how my poor NBA coaches got through that.
Oh my gosh. It was heartbreaking. And for the girls, and I mean, for all of them, but particularly, you know, the seniors that had worked so hard. Oh. And, you know, there were some teams that I know, like, because I worked with them personally, it's like, they really were like, this is our year. We're going to do it. We're going to win it. And then, they're like, oh, by the way, you're not going. Ha ha.
Yeah. Like, surprise, like all that,
you know,
money, costumes. Mm-hmm. And again, unlike any other sport, even with the NCAA getting canceled, at this point, they've played 80 games. And the likelihood of them losing their first game is always high.
Right, right.
The way
it yeah, works. March Madness, same man.
Yeah, same thing with football, mm-hmm. you know, same thing with volleyball, soccer, and, you know, any other sport that happened to, just as devastating,
right.
but way different yes, scenario.
Totally.
Like, it's like, okay, y'all, we played 50 games already. We're good.
Yeah, we're good. We're
us. It's like, we put it all on the line for 1 week.
For a total of like 4 minutes.
That's it.
That's it. That's all you get. That's all you get. Boom. So kind of going down a different path. When you are working with these athletes, and obviously you guys had virtual auditions, so you can kind of tell them, you know, this is what we expect to see, so on and so forth. What kind of training do you tell them that they should have before they walk into auditioning for an elite program such as yourself?
Mm-hmm. I think you can have a variety of background. I think first and foremost, to be honest, you have to have extensive training. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I tell, you know. And people reach out, they're like, I haven't danced very much. And I try to be very honest with them.
Yeah.
You know, we're a team that competes, you know, you're going to be dancing with people who have danced since they could walk. So just a high level of training. So jazz, ballet, all the basics, and not necessarily studio. Mm-hmm. Some people just grow up in the dance team world, all-star world, and they can be successful that way. I do highly recommend coming to our clinics. We offer mock auditions. You know, we have one girl on our team who literally did mock auditions, like when she was sophomore, junior, and a senior before she, you know, tried out for our team. That's an option. I just recommend a lot of technique classes because that's what's gonna get you through the doors, having that technique and that foundation.
Sure. And it sounds like with all those mock auditions, and especially, you know, you mentioned the girl who had been forever, the preparedness is really important because you probably have, like, we talk about them being the face of the university. There's definitely something to be said for that collegiate look that different universities mm-hmm. are going for. Is that something that you guys cover, like, in your mock auditions and
Yeah, we talk about the overall and not just, and again, you know, teams, dance teams, our sport industry in general mm-hmm. kind of gets that rep for, you know, they only take skinny girls or pretty girls or blah, 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 blah. And it's so much more to it behind
oh,
that,
yeah.
that people have to understand. And I try to let them know up front, especially when it comes to body and body image, it's just important for it to be strong. And then I also tell them, you know, I want y'all to be comfortable. You know, it's kind of hypocritical to say I want you to be comfortable in a half top in booty shorts, but that's what we wear.
Right.
We're in Florida. It's hot.
Yes.
So I tell them, you know, you're going to be in front of 80,000 people in a half top and booty shorts.
Mm-hmm.
What I want you to be comfortable. If that's you comfortable at this weight, that's fine. If that's you comfortable looking skinny, whatever you want to call it, that's fine. But I want you guys to be comfortable, because when you feel uncomfortable, and then again, this is a whole nother topic and it gets controversial, but, you know, we subject ourselves to people, you know, around people who are drinking, people who are, you know, not, and I just don't want my girls to ever, you know, feel subjected to, mm-hmm. you know, things that can happen.
Right. It's,
again, that's not our fault
nope.
at
no,
all.
No,
it's
no, no.
It's not our fault at all. But I try to tell them, like, I want y'all to feel good.
Like, this is the reality of the situation. Like, this is what you're going to wear. And you need to, yeah, you don't want to be like feeling self-conscious or, you know, whatever. Totally. And
we present them with tools to do it the healthy way. And healthy is not necessarily a six pack.
No.
And I try to tell them that too.
Yeah.
I'm like, healthy is being good mentally, you know, physically, spiritually, everything. It's all encompassing. So, you know, we try to provide them with those tools to do that, you know.
I love hearing you say that, because I think that, you know, the dance industry and cheer world too gets a bad rep for, you know, oh, these girls have to be skinny and they have to not eat and yeah. they have to, and it's no, you want them, they're athletes. They need to be healthy. And that means, you know, not just physically, but mentally, spiritually, what have you, mm-hmm. you're putting the right food in your body. You're putting the right, you're getting enough sleep. You're getting enough water, like all of that. It all plays into it. Cause if you don't, you can't operate at the level that you need those girls to operate at to be successful.
Our games last 4 hours. We get there 3 hours early. We're on our feet the entire time, and it's 100 degrees at 3 p.m. in the middle of the day. Like, you can't eat cheese bread all night before and expect to be able to get through the game. And I have to do it for myself. I'm like, we do, what do we call it? Hydrate challenges, like 3 days before the game. It's like everybody sends a selfie of them like chugging a bottle of water, because it's like, we really have
to. Can you add me to that group? I need to get in that group.
Seriously. They'll be like, down a gallon. I'm like, I'm working. Because you have to, like, it's like so hot. I remember there's just one game. We wear our hair down. Mm-hmm. By the second half, the hair was in a pony. Never. I was like, guys, we got to do pony. For one, y'all looking crazy. And I get it. I get it. It's so hot. I'm like, that hair, you know, it gets stringy, sticks to your neck.
It's not the look.
You turn left, your hair's going right. You know? We had to pony it. And we had girls taking like salt packets to hydrate. We had a girl who was so dehydrated that she had to go take a ice bath. She was feeling, one girl got so dehydrated that she was ended up being cold. Keep in mind, it's 100 degrees outside. She's now freezing because of how like dehydrated her body's getting. Mm-hmm. Like, it gets scary hot out there.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we couldn't be out there in jazz pants if we wanted to.
No. Pass out. Right.
So we got to do literally, because it was new when I got to Lynnwood. I'm like, or when I got to Florida State, I'm like, y'all wear booty shorts? Like, that's it. And when I'm out there, oh.
You're like, I'm also in booty shorts.
I am dying out there. Like, I've never felt a warmer sun.
Well, than when I, and for you, like in the coach role, you know, I know I've seen you on game days, you look professional and you look like very put together, but like, you got to dress light too. Like, just so you're not burning up, girl.
That polo, it's so hot that I have to wear a tank top under my polo so that I don't have sweat stains. Oof. Like, that's where we're at this point. I'm like, just put on the tank. When we wear like garnet or white, yeah, I gotta wear a tank top under. I'm like, I'm not gonna catch me out here looking crazy.
I love it. So we talk, so how, you know, speaking of the collegiate image and, you know, them having to be in a good physical condition, do you find yourself having to work with your dancers on working through those obstacles a lot, or do they kind of come in, not necessarily just with the collegiate image part mm-hmm. of it, but just, you know, if they're not able to execute technical skills or if they have a lack of motivation, like, is that something that you find yourself having to work with them a lot on, or do they kind of come in with the mentality of, you know, this is what I need to do?
When it comes to the physical part of it, as far as body image, we are very fortunate to have an athletic trainer, strength and conditioning coach, access to the nutritionist, all of that. So we leave that for them.
That's great.
It's like, okay, if you're struggling, I want you to go talk to a professional, because there's also coaches out there that give health tips and it's like, you shouldn't be, you know,
totally.
Or they're unhealthy. And I don't ever want to be in a position where, you know, my dancers feel like I'm pressuring them or pushing them to look a certain way.
Yeah.
So we leave that for our athletic trainers. And again, that is like if we ever had the issue, which we haven't, it's like, okay, I'm worried because I feel like you're not taking care of yourself mm-hmm. overall.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Not you don't look
sane. Sure. No, totally. No.
But again, that conversation goes elsewhere. Mm-hmm. As far as motivation and, you know, staying on top of their, we have heart to hearts, honestly. I will sit them down and be like, what's going on? Y'all don't look good. We're not dancing together. Like, what can we do? I've had to, in practice, just dip out. I'm over this. You guys aren't working hard. We did that last year during 2 days. They weren't trying. I was like, all right, see you later. Y'all want to go to nationals and look crazy? We'll do
that. That's on you.
Never had to do that again. So it worked. They were very confused when I left practice and they stayed, and I was like, okay, bye. And that was when my assistant coach was able to sit them down and be like, okay, guys, if y'all don't want her to act like that.
Yeah.
And so that was perfect. But Or I'll pull people to a side. Again, you know, we have a big team, 25 people, and we don't ever need all 25. You know, there's always an opportunity for us to do less. Mm-hmm. And so I try to make that very clear at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to do 25 for football. We don't have to, we can't do 25 for basketball. We can't do 25 for nationals. So if you are not staying on top of what you need to stay on top of, you just won't participate.
Yeah.
And that's just a bummer overall.
I think so, for people who coach in general, there's a lot of takeaway from what you're saying. It's, and I, you know, you are, like you said, you're very upfront with them. And mm-hmm. you set, you know, kind of like your goals of what the practices are going to look like, what the whole season is going to look like up way up front. And I think that is so important when you're coaching people, is that you are telling them what the expectation is and then what will happen if that expectation is not met. And it's mm-hmm. it's just cut and dry. Like it's not,
yeah,
it's, this is not emotional. This is not, you know, and that's, I think that's really important to remember when you're working with people, is that this is just what it is, like, period.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah. Cause the reality is Golden, we could get the same amount. We could get the same thing done mm-hmm. with 14 people or 16 people,
right?
Nationals, games, football, volleyball, appearances, travel. We could do all of that with 14 or 16 people. We take 25 because we want to give as many people the opportunity to be a Golden Girl as possible.
Yeah.
And too, it's memories. It's more, you know, more numbers always looks better in general.
Totally.
So I just try to make that very clear to them, you know, not everyone will get the opportunity if not everyone deserves it.
Right.
So, and I feel like that helps.
Yeah. What do you think, like, last question, and then I know you need to get back to your day. What do you think? This is so fun. I wish we could talk all day. Where do you think you would attribute your passion for your coaching career, your success in your coaching career? Like, what do you attribute that to?
I think first my family, mm-hmm. they, this is really funny. My parents used to pay so much money, like everyone, a year for dance.
Yes.
And so my dad was like, I'm not paying for your college because I've been paying for your college every year. Like, he used to always say that. He's like, you need to do something with this dance because we're spending all of our money. So you better make it last.
Right.
So sometimes I just look at him, I'm like, I'm the head coach at Florida State.
Yeah. Aren't you proud of me, Dad?
So I think that helped, was just like, you know, making my parents proud. I think also I had a really good coach, you know, I think, you know,
Brooke. Of course I know Brooke. She's a rock star. Yeah. She's great.
You know, and it's funny because we have our stories about how we feel tortured by some of the things she made us do. But now that I coach, I'm like, coach, just like her.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
famous last words, like, oh, my coach is so mean. And then I did the same thing. Like, I found myself doing the same thing. You know,
you go crazy over the things they do, and then you get a team and do the same exact
things.
And like,
well, God, she, I mean, I don't really know her that well. Like, mm-hmm. I just kind of know her obviously through the dance world, and she's never been anything but so nice, but it was so apparent, like, the, you know, passion that she had for the team and, you know, just for the program in general. Cause she also, I believe, grew up there too. And, you know, so you could see that in everything that she did, and her attention to detail is out of this world.
I don't think if I didn't have her as a coach, I don't think I would have been able to mm-hmm. jump into this big of a program at the age. Like, I started coaching them at like 24, and it was like wild. Like, why, how is this my team? Like, that's, but again, I think because I had her as a coach, like, it set me up with a lot of tools to be able to just use that on them and then start to build, you know, the program already from what it was at. So
sure. Do you, and we have not talked about this, but you also used to work for NDA as mm-hmm. an instructor. Did that help you a lot in your getting prepared for?
For sure. Because we spend all summer working with teams for 4 days, trying to get them as perfect as possible in 4 days. So you also have to be super detail oriented. And NDA is another thing that I attribute a lot of, like, what shaped me, like, even when it comes down to, like, traveling by myself. I prefer to travel by myself because at 18 years old, they were like, all right, we're putting you on a plane to Oklahoma. Okay. You're going to Montana. I think I went to Montana by myself. I like went to Nebraska. I went all over. So even just things like that with NBA that made it moving to Tallahassee by myself, not knowing anyone, you know, NBA was very, you know, helpful when it came to that. And just getting to know teams and different programs because I worked with so many teams.
Well, you worked with us whenever I was coaching Sekman, and I used to love when you would work with those girls because you would not take anything from them. And that era of girl, I mean, you probably remember, they were up to some shenanigans.
Yes. I remember my coaching, I was like, if they're not leaving exhausted, like physically exhausted and like can barely participate in the rest of camp, then like I did not do what I needed to do. Like,
well, you did it
to be like not okay for the rest of the day.
And they were, I loved that group of girls because they were just so fun and wild and crazy.
Tanisha and Hannah and Kaylee. God. I like still, well, I am friends with half of them still, yeah, but yeah. I like still remember them as well. Like all of them. Like all,
they were just ridiculous.
I loved but that group.
So fun. Yes. Yes. Well, hey, thank you so much for doing this today.
Of course. Thank you
this
for having
so
me.
This is so fun. Of course. Of course. You were fabulous. Everybody, if you would like to get in touch with Chas, how should they go about that? Follow you on Instagram?
Insta, Facebook. Don't do Twitter. Instagram.
Don't do Twitter. All right. Great. I'll share your
contact. Tyus.
Chas Tyus.
Straight up.
Awesome.
It's changing soon, though, to Keeping Up with C, because since the show, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm looking forward to this, and hopefully this podcast launches that career for you. So look forward to it. Well, it's great to see you and great to have you on. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody. We will see you back here. Same time, same place next week. Have a wonderful rest of your day.